الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن إبراهيم كان أمة قانتا لله حنيفا ولم يك من المشركين شاكرا لأنعمه، اجتباه وهداه إلى صراط مستقيم، وآتيناه في الدنيا حسنة وإنه في الآخرة لمن الصالحين. صدق الله العظيم. Most respected brothers and elders, and our mothers who are listening over the receiver, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in these verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has praised Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, and Allah has said, إِنَّ إِبْرَاهِيمَ كَانَ أُمَّةً قَانِتًا لِلَّهِ حَنِيفًا وَلَمْ يَكُمْ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, the Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Khalil of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the bosom friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah says he was an ummah. Now we all know when we talk about ummah, then we are talking about a huge nation. Allah says Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam, a single person. In reality, he is a nation. He is an ummah. Mufassirin say, what is the meaning of ummah? Qudwa. Imaman. Hadiyan ilal khair. He was a model. He was an example. Example of taqwa. Example of submission. An example showing loyalty, sincerity, devotion, dedication, love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we see this in the incident of the Qurbani, which we have heard from childhood days. But each time we hear these incidents, we become inspired and we are reminded of the important lesson, the lesson of Qurbani, the lesson of Hajj. Unfortunately, these days, these important acts of worship and ibadat have become a ritual. The spirit is lost. The haqiqat of Qurbani, the haqiqah of Hajj, we have lost these things. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had commanded him to submit and surrender, what did he say? أَسْلَمْتُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. I have surrendered myself. I have submitted myself. Allah is my sole and supreme master. I am his slave. And whatever is his command, I am going to bring that, or I am going to act according to his command. You know, we have a master, we have a slave relationship. The slave is expected to obey his master. Or he tries to carry out the instructions and injunctions of his master. Like that, we are all the slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But there's a difference between an ordinary slave and a master and us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This relationship between the makhluk, the creation, mankind and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is our master, we are his slaves. This relationship is a unique one. It is somewhat different. In the ordinary slave and master relationship, the slave obeys the master because he is obliged to, he is forced to, he is compelled to. Perhaps the master will beat him. if he does not carry out his instructions. And therefore this slave waits, yearns, he longs for his freedom to come out of this bondage, that one day when my master will set me free, then I will be out of his bondage and out of his commands. I will be a free person. So he is aspiring all the time to come out of this bondage. But in the relationship between human beings, or the believer and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the believing servant, he is in the bondage of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is his master. But he enjoys this bondage. He enjoys being the slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not a burden. He enjoys carrying out the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because it is not just an ordinary slave and master relationship that this person is waiting to come out of the bondage. In fact, as the time goes by, as the days go by, and as this person gains more and more recognition of his creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he gains more in love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his heart is now attached to his Allah. And therefore he enjoys this bondage. He enjoys prostrating to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this was found very clearly in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and every Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But being the days of Qurbani, when the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in questioned Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ma hadhi al-adha'i ya Rasulullah? What is all this Qurbani all about? Explain to us, give us the reason. How did it start? How did it commence? So Rasulullah mentioned, sunnatu abikum Ibrahim. This was the manner, the way of Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam, your father. Now we're not going to go to each detail and explain why Abikum, why Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam was known as the father and the detailed explanation of his entire life. But Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam, as I mentioned, he had surrendered, submitted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Rabb of Alameen. The moment he declared, he proclaimed this submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, now begins the test. The trials, the tribulations, Allah wants to see how sincere, how loyal, how faithful is my servant who claims to love me, who claims he has surrendered, he has submitted in front of me. And we know that Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam, his family people who were worshipping idols, either it was his father or his uncle Azar, who was an idol worshipper. And Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam continuously invited them towards the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he showed them the folly of worshipping idols. But when they would not believe and they would not accept his teachings, and finally when they kindled a huge fire which is blazing now, and they throw Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam into it, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had commanded the fire to become cool, here again we see the power, the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything is completely in His control. The fire that normally burns now becomes cool. When Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam comes out of the fire, and after some time he has to leave his people, and when he settles down far away from them, and he gets married, he has no children, he makes dua, Allah grants him a child, رَبِّ هَبْلِ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses him with a forbearing child, فَبَشَّرْنَاهُ بِغُلَامٍ حَلِيمٍ. And then the test comes that now this child, you're going to take this child and its mother and leave them in the barren lands of Makkah. There were no trees, there were no vegetation, there were no people, there was nothing, no water, no animals, no creation whatsoever. Barren lands of Makkah. And when he leaves them there, as is mentioned in the books of hadith, that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam leaves them and he is moving away. And his wife asks him, Hajar alayhi salatu wasalam asks him, that, are you going to leave us all alone here? He does not reply, he remains silent. Then she says, Allahu amaraka bihada? Is it the command of your Allah? When he says yes, then we look at her response, her answer. إِذَا لَا يُضَيِّعَنَا. then Allah will never destroy us. In other words, her conviction also of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was so great. She knew that this was the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah will protect us, Allah will provide and nourish us. And then the entire episode of Zamzam, you know, of Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. But when this child grows up, فَلَمَّا بَلَغَ مَعَهُ السَّعْيَ, when he reaches that age, when now he's running about, he's now moving around freely with his father. A youngster now, when he's growing up, now he wants to show his strength, he wants to help his father, he wants to assist his father. He takes pleasure in helping his father. Whether he's taking out the toolbox, or washing the car, or doing some house chores, or whether he is helping the father in the business. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam and Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, this is the father and son. The relationship was extremely close, very intense relationship. They loved one another. Now comes the very daunting task, the great challenge. Ya bunayya inna ara fil manami anni azbahuka fanzur madha tara. Oh my son, I have seen a dream, 3 consecutive nights, that I am slaughtering you. What do you feel? Father is testing the son. Immediate response, if'al ma tu'mar. Carry out, enact what you have been commanded. Don't worry, O my father, you will find me amongst those who are patient, those who will be perseverant. And when they go, when Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam takes his son to be slaughtered, and this is a lesson of submission. The ulama and the scholars have written that the command was not to sacrifice yourself. Of course, to commit suicide is haram. The command was not to commit not to sacrifice yourself. They say perhaps that could have been an easy and ashal command. Because now you got to not sacrifice yourself, you got to take your bosom child, your child who you love so dearly, the child who you were aspiring for, the child who you made dua for, the child who is now growing, he's in his youth, and you have ambitions for him. Now you got to take that child and with your own hand slaughter? It's a different test when you're going to slaughter yourself or kill yourself. This command is slaughtering your own child, your own blood, your own flesh. فَلَمَّا أَسْلَمَا وَتَلَّهُ لِلْجَبِينَ, both father and son surrender, they submit to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he places Ibrahim Ismail alayhi salatu salam with his head facing the ground. Mufassirin, as scholars have written, Ismail alayhi salatu salam then requests his father, Ushtud ribati, that fasten this rope, make it more tighter. Kila at-tarib, so I do not begin to kick and I don't become agitated and I don't lose the courage and pluck. I don't become overwhelmed with fear and anxiety. And then he says, oh my father, remove the shirt. Because if it has to get stained with blood, then it will cause grief to my mother. And then he says that, sharpen the knife so that it can go past my neck very swiftly. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he advised his ummah on how to sacrifice an animal, this is something we ought to learn. Allah forbid, Allah forgive us, on the day of qurbani, instead of doing this qurbani and sacrifice according to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we cause more injury and pain to that animal. In Allah katab al-ihsana ala kulli shay. فَإِذَا قَتَلْتُمْ فَأَحْسِنُوا الْقِتْلَ وَإِذَا ذَبَحْتُمْ فَأَحْسِنُوا الذِّبْحَ وَلْيُحِدَّ أَحَدُكُمْ شَفْرَتَهُ وَلْيُرِحْ ذَبِيحَتَهُ. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam has ordained his ummah that Allah has commanded all of us to be kind. Kind not only to human beings but even to the animals and to all the makhluq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you are going to slaughter the animal, make sure you sharpen the knife not in front of the eyes of the animal. Rasulullah once told one sahabi who was busy sharpening the knife in front of the animal, and the animal was gazing at the sahabi. He says, do you want to kill it twice? Do you want to give it more twice? Away from the animal. Remove the other blood that was there when the previous animal was slaughtered. Do it in a gentle, swift manner. Learn how to make the qurbani. Now when the animal is down, we've got 10 people holding one leg and another 10 people holding the neck. And then we are battling. Now we're sharpening the knife and somebody is screaming and shouting. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us to be kind. Well, yurih dhabihata. Give aram, give comfort to the animal. So Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam says that sharpen the knife. And this is when father and son showed their submission. It was not just the act of slaughtering. It was submitting to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what we have to get into our lives. This is the lesson of qurbani which we hear every single year. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the understanding of the haqiqat, the ruh, the spirit of qurbani and udhiyah. Of course, there are important advices and masail pertaining to the animal, what type of animal it should be. It should be a healthy animal. Many times we sacrifice animals just to get it off our shoulder, as though it is a burden. My respected brothers and elders, we should have that love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the meaning of taqwa in this verse. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَنْ يَنَالَ اللَّهَ لُحُومُهَا وَلَا دِمَاؤُهَا وَلَكِي يَنَالُهُ تَقْوَى مِنْكُمْ. It is not the meat and blood and flesh that reaches Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The animal does not reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, Allah is so kind that you are sacrificing the animal and you are allowed to partake of the animal. What is it that reaches Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Taqwa. What is taqwa? This fana. The ulama and scholars have mentioned, what is fana? Where a person is totally annihilating himself, is obliterating his inner self, his egos, his whims, his desires, he is actually making mukhalafa. He is going against his nafs. The nafs will desire something, but the command of Allah is contrary to what the nafs is desiring. Here is a test. Do you love Allah more or do you love something else more? We claim if we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the submission that we place the knife on our nafs. We place the knife on our egos. The desire is to commit haram. The desire is to move towards haram. The desire is to consume haram. The desire is to watch haram. The desire is to be in the company where haram is, entertainment is being seen or watched or viewed, or this participation of a haram entertainment or an incident or some act. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, no, my respect, my beloved makhluk, my servant, that the command of your Allah is something else. It was easy to sacrifice the animal. But what lesson did you derive from the lesson of qurbani? How many years of qurbani you have made in your life? Has not the time dawned upon you now? That now you place that knife on your nafs. You annihilate your egos, your whims, your desires, solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the meaning of Islam. This is the meaning of the verse, فَلَمَّا أَسْلَمَا. When father and son submitted, when they surrendered, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the same name for our deen, Islam. We show submission. The adhan is called out, I'm submitting to my Allah. Salat, I'm there for my Allah. Not only on an Eid day, suddenly even how we are going to the Eidgah. What about the other farad salat? What about the other ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What about the commandments when He has instructed us to see to the rights of our fellow Muslim brothers and sisters? We forget these things. Imagine we are making a sacrifice, yet we have not even paid for the animal. Years have been by. Very commonly we hear a person says, okay, I'm slaughtering a cow or a bull. Okay, give me 2 shares there. Or give me 3 shares. Person purchases the animal, yet we haven't paid for the share. Is this qurbani? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised his sahaba to sacrifice a healthy animal. One person thought that why must he sacrifice an animal? So many others are sacrificing animals, so I will just give, in lieu of the animal, I will just give an amount. So if an animal costs 1,500 rand, I'll just pay 1,500 rand, I'll give that in charity, in sadaqah. So he used to do that. When he passed on, somebody sees him in a dream. Now this is a dream. What he sees is a vision, there's a picture of Qiyamah taking place. And the believers are all assembled there. And now each one is mounting a conveyance to take him across very easily. So this person also goes to one conveyance and is about to mount, and somebody says, sorry, this is only for those who made qurbani. You do not make qurbani. So you cannot have any share. So he awakens, he is alarmed, he is afraid, he is terrified. He realizes his mistake. To the human mind, to our logic, and our philosophy, and our analogy, and our understanding, and our aqal, we might not understand the hikmah and wisdom of sacrificing so many animals, but this is the command of Allah. This is the wisdom of Allah which you and I cannot question. Allah wants us to submit, surrender ourselves. Do not go into the lengthy discussions, unnecessary, futile discussions. Surrender ourselves to Allah's command. May Allah wants me to sacrifice an animal, and therefore I surrender and sacrifice animal. Rasulullah SAW mentioned that on the day of Qiyamah, this animal will come, يَأْتِي بِقُرُونِهَا وَأَزْلَافِهَا وَأَشْعَارِهَا. It will come with his horns, with his hooves, with his hair. In one riwayat, it is said that it will be multiplied or intensified 70 times more, placed on the scales in whichever form Allah wishes to intensify it. And then it will be making the scales of good deeds weightier for the believer. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells Sayyidina Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha that before the first drop of blood can even reach the ground, Allah has already accepted your sacrifice. She asks, Ya Rasulullah, alana khasa, is it us, Ahlul Bayt khasa, us, the household of you, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for the Ahlul Bayt, is it specific? This virtue, this blessing only for us, that Allah is already accepting the sacrifice before the blood can reach the ground. He says, La, no. بَلْ لِعَامَّةِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. It's for the entire ummah of my entire ummah. In one riwayat is it mentioned that this animal will become hijaba min an-nar. It will become a barrier from the person entering into the fire of Jahannam. So we should do it happily, with a large heart. There are so many other virtues of qurbani. The best and the most virtuous act on the day of Nahr, the day of Eid, the day of qurbani, is the act of ihraqu dam, where a person is sacrificing the animal. Of course, when we're sacrificing the animal, it is a day of happiness, undoubtedly. But, and this is the important but, and this somehow seemed very, very sour for us, for many of us, to digest. Whilst we are sacrificing the animal, and whilst we are enjoying our Eid, we tend to forget the other laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we forget about the intermingling of sexes. And we regard that to be very mundane and trivial and very petty. Then we have defeated the purpose of qurbani. Then there is no true submission if we are going to flout the other commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If on the day of Eid we are going to make our other qaza, namaz qaza, because we have no time, we've got so many bulls to slaughter, so our namaz has become qaza. Then we have lost the true essence of qurbani. These days are very blessed days, very auspicious days. We have heard perhaps last week, even last night also, that مَا مِنْ أَيَّامٍ الْعَمَلُ الصَّالِحُ فِيهَا حَبُّ لَاللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَ مِنْ هَذِي الْأَيَّامِ. There is no action in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more dearer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the first 10 days of the Hijjah than righteous deeds done during these days. Allah loves good deeds done during these days more than he loves it done in any other day. Sahaba asked, Walal jihadu fi sabil, even the act of jihad. Rasulullah said, yes, that these days action, amal salih, whether it is tasbih, tahmid, tahleel, dhikr of Allah, tilawat, fasting, our salat, nawafil, sadaqat, whatever we are doing, the qurbani, these things are more dearer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than a person participating in jihad, except kharaja bi nafsihi wa malihi falam yarji' bi shay. He goes out in the path of Allah and then he becomes a shaheed. He gains no booty and he becomes a martyr. Then of course his position is greater. The fasting during these days is also very blessed. A person keeps roza on any of these days. One day you keep roza. For example, if a person fasts tomorrow, then he gets the sawab of fasting an entire year. 1 year. Then ibadah during these nights is equivalent to ibadah done during Laylatul Qadr night. 9th of Dhul Hijjah, Yawmul Arafah. And that, on that day to keep roza, then yukaffirus sanat al-madiyah wal-baqiyah. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives us the sins of the past year and the future year, the minor sins. Of course, these days, the fasting is not compulsory. If a person has the strength, it is virtuous, meritorious, we should try. If you can't keep every day, then keep 1 day or 2 days, at least on the day of Arafah, the 9th of Dhul Hijjah, next Saturday. At least on that day, keep fast. And some hours of the night spent in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah has created these occasions. Allah has created these avenues for you and I to reflect, to turn towards Him, to ponder over this message of submission, loyalty, obedience, love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat to bring the real spirit of qurbani and make it be a change in our life, in our mindset, and in the normal practice of qurbani, which has just become ritual. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the true spirit of qurbani and make it be such that now we become true surrenders, or we have become submissive to the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not only the act of qurbani, but every other injunction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah give us tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.